and an artist. The poem, aptly titled Untitled, perhaps sums up her acceptance of her place in the world. The least of his reporter's eye, who take some small note from his sky, and let the universe pass by. Mary Wheelwright died in her own bed in her summer house, the White Hen, on Sutton Island, near Mount Desert, Maine, in July 1958. She was 80 years of age, and like Alice, was vigorous and sharp-minded until the end of her life. Mary knew her death was near. She'd been told by her doctor that she had serious heart trouble. On her last day of life, she spent the morning in her garden. The White Hen faced west and had a fine view of the sea. After a good lunch, Mary retired to her room to read. With a book in her hand, she dozed off into a sleep from which she never awoke. Two of Mary's cousins, sisters Amy and Rosamund Lamb of Boston, were visiting Sutton Island that day, and they watched in silence as the undertaker carried Mary's body on a stretcher out of the summer house and down to a small rowboat tied to the dock. The sisters placed flowers on the canvas-wrapped body and said their farewells by the water. Sutton Island was famous for its fog, and that afternoon the Lamb sisters stood with Mary's bereft house staff and watched as the little boat carrying her body was rowed out into the mist. It was really just what she would have liked, Rosamund said years later. Could anything be more appropriate for Mary than just to go out into the void like that, into the deep fog, just by herself, in a boat? Mary's body was buried among the Brahmins in the family cemetery in Boston, but if her Indian friends and their beliefs held sway over her spirit, Mary's soul was far away on the Rainbow Trail. A memorial service was held for Mary Cabot Wheelwright in Santa Fe at the Museum of Navajo Ceremonial Art. Oliver Lafarge, whose novel about the Navajo people, Laughing Boy, won the Pulitzer Prize in 1930, recalled the obstacles that Mary and Claw had overcome to make the museum a reality. Mary's unscientific methods, Lafarge told the audience, were ultimately responsible for the preservation of extraordinary and irreplaceable materials. Lafarge praised Mary and her ability to study and respond to a very remarkable primitive religion as a whole, instead of approaching it only from the rather timid point of view of the anthropologist, seeking his purely so-called objective data. The memorial concluded with a written statement from the Navajo tribal chairman, Paul Jones. It is certainly most unusual and difficult for a museum to achieve the purpose of keeping alive something of the spirit of the religion of the people who never had a written language. The Navajo people will be forever grateful to Mary for building the thing of the spirit into visible and physical form in the Museum of Navajo Ceremonial Art. The Museum of Navajo Ceremonial Art, Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian, gave visible and physical form to the remarkable, unconventional life and work of Mary Cabot Wheelwright. It is more difficult to find tangible reminders or memorials for the other women whose journeys to their individual destinies are recounted in this book. Their lives and their contributions to the story of their times most often remain nebulous, something of the spirit. Natalie Curtis Berlin's work among the Hopis and dozens of other Native American tribes, and her articles, books, recordings, and transcriptions are valued and recognized by specialists in the field of ethnomusicology. Alice Klauber is revered among those who work at and frequent the museum in San Diego she helped to build. But Alice's name, like her own paintings, and her friendships with Henry, the Steins, and Pock, garner little public interest. Carol Bishop Stanley's intrepid and risky move onto the faraway desert beyond Abiquiu resulted in the creation of one of the most iconic places in American art history, yet her story remains only tenuously tethered to Ghost Ranch and the world-famous relationship between O'Keeffe and the ranch that her movements and choices inadvertently precipitated. Of course, a life is not necessarily more valuable because it is broadly remembered or publicly applauded. Even celebrated worldly success may ultimately amount to a handful of sand scattered in the winds of time, and stupendous failure may spark a fire that burns brightly for decades. When all is said and done, A life well lived leaves only silence and beauty behind on the trail, and footprints and dreams merge seamlessly into the landscape. The last words spoken at Mary Wheelwright's memorial service in Santa Fe were from an ancient Navajo song prayer. We can imagine the prayer intended for Mary resonated among her kindred spirits, Carol, Natalie, and Alice, and all their fellow travelers across the wide, bright sky of their beloved Indian country. Before her, it is beautiful. It shows the way. Behind her, it is beautiful. It shows the way. This that is beautiful. It shows the way. May she ever walk in beauty. This concludes Ladies of the Canyons by Leslie Poling Kempies, narrated by Joanna Perrin, a member of SAG-AFTRA. Copyright 2015 by the Arizona Board of Regents. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Leslie Poling Kempies, care of Jet Literary Associates, Incorporated, and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.